Welcome to the podcast!
Come be part of the conversations that happen around my kitchen table.
He's John Brannion, and he's been a stand-up comic for more than 30 years.
She's Amanda McKinney, and she's been my daughter for her whole life.
Our family believes laughter is a gift from God. We often discover it while discussing culture, faith, and family.
So go ahead and pull up a chair, neighbor. Can I call you Carl? There's plenty of room here for you. Wait, Carl, Carl!
Hey, Carl. Caffeine in that coffee?
No, I'm in my outgoing era.
Oh.
I am out of my shell.
You know how Picasso had a blue phase?
He is in rare form tonight, isn't he?
It's not just tonight. He's referring also to the show he did over the weekend because he was just kind of out of control.
Just so you're still riding the adrenaline wave from 3 days ago?
So a person that I work with at a hospital, her position was eliminated.
And that made you happy?
No, it made me sad.
Oh.
And so I made a petition to save her job, and I sent it out, and she just texted me that it made her laugh that I did that. So, I'm all over the place.
Did it save her job?
No.
Oh.
I knew it wouldn't.
Luke used to be like this pretty much all the time. That like he's known as the podcast ninja, and he doesn't really say a whole lot on audio. Mm-hmm. But at work, like before he became a nurse when he was still working in the cafeteria up in Fort Wayne at a hospital, but just not in the same position he's in now.
Yeah.
He was known for being kind of a clown.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that about him. I remember being, I remember at the time I went to turn on the sink.
When we were dating.
At my house, when they were just dating, and I got sprayed.
You weren't trying to get him, though.
I don't think I was trying to get John.
You were trying to get my mom, because that was the one that you liked to
annoy. I much more enjoyed messing with your mom.
He put a rubber band over the sprayer so that when you turned on the water, it fired the sprayer, and it shot me right in the
Remember that time gut. We were playing cards, and mom was eating a massive cucumber, and she got up to go to the bathroom, and Luke reached over and just took a big hunk out of it.
Out of the side of it.
He ate like right in
like,
the center.
Like an ear of corn, he bit into it.
And then just set it back down again so that she'd find it when she came back.
Yeah.
And my
he
favorite.
He gradually started to lose his inhibitions.
Yeah,
around
it's
our
like
house.
He had kids and he got old and no fun. Kind of like that. My favorite was from the cafeteria when you guys found that enormous grape. Do you remember?
No.
Yes, you will remember as soon as I start telling this story.
Okay.
They found a really, really big grape. It was so big that it had stripes in it. Do you remember?
A striped Vaguely. Grape? Are you sure it wasn't a watermelon?
Well, no. Luke started calling it the grape-a-lantern. Or his co-worker. Oh, yeah. You remember the grape-a-lantern?
Okay, yes. Now I do.
And then I don't know if you stole
Did
it.
Did they carve a face in it?
No.
Oh.
But it sat on her desk for like several days, and then it disappeared. And so then they put out a wanted poster. I don't know how much was him.
Have you seen this giant grape?
I don't know how much was him and how much was his coworker. But they put out a missing persons flyer, and they said missing the grape-a-lantern. And then they had a little drawing on one side, and then there was an age progressed photo on the right.
Was a raisin.
Turned into a raisinator. Raise-a-lantern.
Yep.
I had forgot about that.
That's the kind of stuff.
Did you ever find it?
No.
No. Somebody ate it.
That was the end of the grape-a-lantern.
Somebody ate that grape.
Probably somebody came in to clean at night. I was like, what's this?
Somebody ate that grape in three quick bites.
And here's the thing.
Are you sure it wasn't a plum?
No, it was.
It came from the grape.
It was a mutant grape.
Carton.
Like how big was this?
It was on
this?
A vine with other
Was it the size
grapes.
Of your thumb?
It was the size of like a half dollar. It was big. 50-cent piece for those.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. What I was going to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of people have these sorts of intrusive thoughts, you might call them. The only difference is some people are willing to just take the risk to do them.
A lot of people don't do 75% of them.
Right.
So
Well, yeah.
So you do have a filter.
I have somewhat of a filter.
He's got some, yeah. He's got some
but
gauges.
Our own Brian April, who I guess Carl probably doesn't know who that is. One of his advices that he gave to me as a newer comedian was go extreme, go way out of your comfort zone, and then everything short of that will be more comfortable. And I'm finding that to be true.
It's like the ice bath of comedy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you take it as far as you can possibly stand it.
Yeah.
And then you back up from that and go, oh, well, this is much better.
So I had that.
But you're still way beyond what you were before.
Yes. Yeah. I had that in mind at the recent show where I came out literally dancing and doing a jig.
Yes. Doing
it. And it's like, okay, after that, I mean, what else?
Where could you go from
there?
Well,
I mean, you could wear flashy glasses on stage with shamrocks for lenses.
Which you did.
I did do that.
You could do that.
I did do that.
It's like
become a prop comic.
Stretching. That's what it is. It's hyper-extending your comedy muscles.
Right. He pushed it too far and then and then backed up.
There may have been an injury because it's 3 days later and he's still kind of
There's got to be some science to this, though. It's whatever exposure therapy that it
there
that
is.
It is. It's
I don't know. I don't know if I would call it science, but
it is. It's about getting over anxiety.
Yeah.
There's a psychological thing that happens to the audience when the performer is completely comfortable and in control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you have to communicate non-verbally. There's just a confidence. And when they sense that you know what you're doing and you're comfortable up on stage, they will relax. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to receive your act well, but they will at least be at ease. There won't be a tension where they're like, oh no, this guy is probably not going to be any good. Look how scared he is. Mm-hmm. Now I'm nervous too because he's not going to be okay. But if you come out river dancing, yeah, they're going to be like, well, he may not be funny.
But this will at least be interesting.
Definitely confident, yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? Yeah. And
so that's what I recommend, Carl. If you are an introvert and you struggle to talk to women, go rob a bank teller who's female.
What is this? This is.
And then at that point, all discussions with women will be a little bit easier.
I thought we were talking about doing stand-up. I didn't know you were talking about
No, it works in all facets of life, like the ice challenge that she said.
Okay, Carl, there you go.
Dating advice now.
There you go.
Crossed over to that.
Oh, I'm in my outgoing era. Did I say that? Yeah.
Yeah. He also said that there's no caffeine in that coffee cup.
He's in his outgoing era.
He's just being. Yeah.
Maybe it's COVID. I don't know.
Two shows. Luke, we were commenting this weekend about how your comedy has sort of taken off. It's separated from me now. You are in your own comedy.
Well, you have unhitched yourself from me, and so I've had to flutter about on my own.
I have not unhitched myself. I just have.
I don't. Does
Speaking
it
of
count?
Which, is he going to be able to do the thing in April at the Shipshi?
What
Shipshi
in Shipshi?
Nobody calls it Shipshi.
I didn't know he was invited for that. That's an actual gig.
If he's available, he could come up and do it, right?
I don't know. That wasn't in the contract.
Who's my manager and agent?
Well, I didn't use our contract. We used the Blue Gates contract for it because it's they're paying to have you there all weekend. And so, you know, it was a whole like formal thing. It's not just us horsing around in somebody's church. You can get away with all kinds of stuff in churches, but the theaters and the comedy clubs are a little more, you know.
I won't be offended if Shipshi doesn't.
A little more uptight. Like, they have a clause.
They're not going to care.
They have a non-compete clause in their contract, and I have to bring it up with them every time because I'm aware of it now. And I'm like, look, we live within that radius, right. And so there are lots
so
of times
So I'm not
that
allowed to be funny
here.
For like, 90 days.
Right now, no, it's 120 actually on either side.
Oh, it's even worse now. It's
120 on either side of the date and for 100 miles.
On either side? That's 240 days. That's almost a year.
Okay, maybe it's 90, but it's on either side of the date still. Yeah.
That's 180. That's 6 months.
I know. And also 100 miles, which
I'm not allowed to tell any jokes in my own home.
Well, they always tell me.
Or else I'll violate the contract.
They always tell me, just if you get in conflict or if you get another call for another gig, just let us know. And they've never told me, oh, if we're
you,
not comfortable
if
with
you
that.
If you feel funny some evening.
They mostly don't want you, they mostly don't want you doing other theater. So they wouldn't want you to go do Wabash or.
They don't mind if I make the neighbors laugh.
No,
if
church events.
If I make
events,
a lawnmower joke to.
Like nonprofits, we've done a few. And then church events, they don't care if you're going to do, you know, charity things.
They just don't want selling tickets. To happen.
Big ones. Like, even if you sell some tickets, they don't want it to be like a stadium or something like that.
Yeah, that's because they're used to dealing with people that are a bigger deal than me. They're used to dealing with people who may draw an audience from.
I understand the ban of doing a show right before them. Or advertising a show right after. But if you don't advertise it until after you've already done Shipshawana, that seems like it should be.
You don't
fine.
Have any control over who advertises the show prior to. That's like, true. we're not promoting our own shows in most cases.
Right.
So.
Most of the time, I don't promote myself in any way.
Which is what happened. When you were at the.
Most of the time, I try to fly under the radar and be obscure.
It wasn't the Honeywell
unknown.
Center. What's the name of the other theater? Not the Honeywell Center. I'm going to call them out
Eagles?
By name. You remember the only time it's ever been a problem, the Blue Gate's never given me any trouble, but the theater, is it Eagles?
I think so.
The theater in Wabash that's associated with Honeywell, and you were doing that room, and they called me, and they were upset they because were like, you were going to be doing a, like, and it was tiny. It was like,
what is he doing?
College
Why
campus.
Why is he talking a Cub Scout pack number 308?
It was like a business
on
thing.
Thursday
like
evening?
An office party or something. You were going to go do it like an office Christmas party.
Oh.
And I was like, I literally didn't even think about it. And I said, plus that was booked before your show. Like you could have seen it on his calendar before you called us. So I definitely wasn't thinking that I needed to report it to call it to your attention.
All right,
before.
Let's get to the meat of the episode. What are we talking about?
They left a big angry message on my machine and I'm unfazed.
I like the way you just keep talking. He's decided not only has he gotten out of his shell, but now he's taken over. He's asserting dominance
in the
podcast.
I'm actually happy for this because for a long time, for months now, I've been like, oh my gosh, Carl thinks that like I am a steamroller and I just bowl over my husband and like they're going to think that he has poor Luke.
Actually,
he has
it's pretty bad over here, Carl. Send help.
It's not. That's what's funny about it is that you guys have been married like 40 years. How long have you been married?
Been
16 or 17.
16 years in June, but in next month in April, it's our 20th anniversary as a couple
of being together.
Yeah, 2 decades of this
marriage and the trial period.
So he can stick up for himself. Don't worry, Carl. If you've worried,
she is not she doesn't overwhelm him.
Yeah. And clearly I don't mind talking
actually,
right over him either.
She did. For a long time, and then she built me up into what I am today. And now
a formidable opponent.
She respects what she's made.
Which is a very outgoing person for the last 2 minutes.
And now I am beyond her control.
now he's a loose cannon.
After all this time, I've turned him into who he is, which is mostly still quiet with occasional random bursts of noise, like today.
Like occasional assertions of extreme dominance. All right, let's get to this podcast. Let's get to the meat of it.
Speaking of which, Aaron Wren, Indianapolis-based philosopher type of
Red
guy.
Red pill guy.
Yeah. I get the Masculinist or whatever it is, newsletter. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that as you get older and get more leadership positions, you should become a more serious person.
Mm.
That's what he said. He said that
is
you should.
Is this what you want to talk about on the heels of your comedy success?
Well, if he's right, then, I mean, we should be bowing to truth. And
okay.
So.
Well, you're taking ridiculousness very seriously.
You're not taking me very seriously.
I am. I'm listening to
so
everything
what,
you're saying.
Does he expound on that at all? I mean, we should smile less. We should furrow our brows more frequently.
The more respect that you have, the more influence to have, the more careful you're supposed to be, he says, so that you can not, because people are associating with you, and now they won't do that if they see you as a clown. They want because you're affecting them, and they're because they're putting their stamp of approval on you, and so you need to be respectable and serious and not in that jokes are for.
That's what Aaron Red says.
Yeah, that was his thing, and it made me think. I just thought I'd bring it up
because
I'm conflicted.
Were you going to talk about Mike Winger at all, or were you just going to go
okay,
watch
let's just
his
pass
videos?
Over that.
No, I'm, I'm bringing it up for a reason.
And the assertiveness is gone.
It's related because we were just talking about how he's a humble and careful and I would say probably serious guy.
Yes.
And he says a lot of very respectable, well thought out things. I mean, he takes his time before. He doesn't just fly off the handle and start ranting. He's not a shock jock.
Right.
But what's funny is after I made that statement and the dad agreed with me, I happened to see his most recent tweet and it says, Joel Osteen and I have the same number of followers. Or no, Benny Hinn. Sorry. Benny Hinn and I have the same number of followers on here, which surprises me because I would have thought he'd be stuck at 666,000.
Oh, jeez.
Which is not a great joke, but also I was not expecting him to be that, like...
Yeah. 666,666.
Yeah, yeah, right. So I just thought that was funny because he is so serious and because I do think he's a really respectable guy and he is careful in his dialogue. The fact that he's tweeted that was like, oh, okay, like he...
All right.
He doesn't take himself seriously.
No, he doesn't take himself seriously, and he does make jokes. He does crack jokes, and he'll say things. But he's very careful, and he will then go out of his way to announce that he's kidding, and that was a joke.
Right.
And that's where I tend to not do that.
That's where the seriousness comes back in.
Right, right. That's
what, Mike Winger, by the way. I said it, but we're talking about Mike Winger. Yeah.
And so I think that it is possible to be to engage with serious topics satirically. I think that serious thinkers and serious communicators can still engage in humor.
Levity.
Yeah,
well, but I don't think that humor.
I don't think a humor automatically disqualifies you as a serious person.
No, because you were talking about putting people at ease with your confidence. And when you're willing to cut loose, or I guess give the appearance of cutting loose, it's still a thought out thing. Like you're doing it with intention because you know that this is a good way to relate with people and get them to laugh. And so, like, in that regard, you're being serious. You're taking humor seriously. You're taking social relationships, you know, seriously. And people will actually trust you when they go, wait, this is a person who is, who's secure. Like, that's Masculinist and Aaron Wren and all the other Manosphere.
A lot of funny people are insecure, and that's why they're funny.
Yes. Well, that's not ever going to put people at ease, though. Like, an actual clown is, like, desperate. And just doing literally anything for any sort of attention because of their own personal need for it. That's not the same as a secure man who maintains frame. Remember, this is a term that they use all the time in the manosphere. Mm-hmm. Maintains frame and integrity and is strong, has this good foundation. From that foundation, you can then enjoy the levity knowing that it's an act of confidence again. It's kind of like, I guess, C.S. Lewis saying, or maybe it was Tolkien, who said he feels pity for the people who are too mature to read fairy tales, and that actually reading children's, quote-unquote, children's stories is actually something that only an adult can really do and appreciate fully, because they're no longer... Children are the ones who worry about being seen as big kids. Mm-hmm. I'm big, you know, don't call me a baby. But adults who are actually adults... don't care so much about that. It's like, you can call me a baby if you want. I know that I'm still me and I'm grown up, but I also happen to enjoy this story, whether you mock me like a schoolyard bully or not. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think, how you can still be serious about being funny.
I don't know if we talked about the
I feel like you've caught some flack from people using the argument that Jesus didn't go around cracking jokes and that he was... serious in an attempt to cut you down from being your satirical self.
Well, Jesus was funny, though.
I agree.
It's just that the translation of that language and that humor doesn't work in English necessarily. But I don't know if we've talked about the dilemma of adults and animated movies before, where you've got this sort of nagging belief that cartoons are for kids. You know, cartoon. There's a belief that, well, you know, you're watching cartoons. Cartoons are for children, and so there are certain adults that won't admit that they like Finding Nemo or The Incredibles or Beauty and the Beast or whatever. They won't admit, because those are they're cartoons. They're for children.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Are people worried about that?
The fact is that cartoons have never really been for children. If you go back and look at the Bugs Bunny cartoons and even the Disney cartoons, they had adult themes and adult humor for them. And the kids liked them because they were colorful and they were animated or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there have been cartoons have been made specifically for children in some cases, but they didn't start out that way. Political cartoons, you know, you go back and look at the really old, horribly drawn political cartoons from the turn of the century and whatever, and they're not for kids. There's a seriousness in...
I genuinely don't know how I would define it. I don't know how I would say this is something that's not for kids. There are things kids aren't able to understand yet, usually because of lack of vocabulary and lack of experience. And you might actually be able to just say lack of experience.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's something that isn't targeted at children.
Well, it just means that it may go over their heads, but even when they're seeing it played out in front of them in a story, they still pick up on the themes, even if they're not aware or conscious of it. Like, they still recognize, oh, when a boy and a girl appear on the screen together, I just happen to know that they usually have some sort of an interest in each other. And by the end of this movie, they're probably going to get married. And even if they didn't get married in the movie, my kids still will, they'll still see.
Or one of them will get stung by bees and die.
Is that pretty, my girl? I haven't seen that. I just know that has been his trauma, like his traumatic experience our whole lives.
Either they'll get married or one of them will die.
I know it's not Bridge to Terabithia, so it must be the other one that makes him absolutely devastated.
Oh, don't even. I went to see Bridge to Terabithia having not read the book. I got into the beginning of the second act. I'm like, what's going on here? This is not what I expected.
But my kids will still see a hero and a heroine somewhere in any movie doing anything. And they'll say, one of them will go, they're going to get married, or they should get married. And all they're doing is showing some awareness that in storytelling, there's a love interest of some sort. They also know there's a conflict, and they now know what a cliffhanger is, just from being, you know, exposed to stories. And there's
my son hates cliffhangers.
Yeah.
He does not process cliffhangers very well.
There's so much they don't understand still, but that's it doesn't mean that the story itself isn't for children.
Well, it doesn't mean that it's not serious either.
Well, we've said before, you shouldn't be classifying things as mature or for adults versus for children, because everything is either going to be edifying for the human experience or it's not. And if it's not edifying,
I forgot about that.
If it's not edifying, you shouldn't be watching it either.
I forgot I violated one of our rules of the past.
If it's yellow journalism, if it's a political cartoon and it's propaganda, that's not really for adults either. That's
right. Well, we've also commented about how what's categorized as an adult bookstore is not necessarily something that needs to be taken seriously.
Right.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying I don't understand what it means. If you start worrying too much about being childish or immature or unserious, you're actually becoming more and more and more childish, because that's what little kids are very concerned about. They're concerned about being seen as grown up,
being taken seriously.
Which is the C.S. Lewis quote. And he's like, you know, by the time you are mature enough, you rise above that, and then you just do what glorifies God, hopefully.
Well, what's true.
Yeah.
And it depends on how you use the word serious, and I haven't read the article or listened to the podcast or whatever, but sometimes people will take serious to mean dull, you know, like without laughter, without humor, without, you know, it's boring.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, the people.
So you have to.
And you're not authentic if you're putting on all these layers of professionalism. And it, I don't know, it drives me nuts.
I don't know. Because that's the thing. Like, I tend to be more naturally serious. Like, I'm the one that's who wants to just talk about. I want to talk about the politics, and I want to talk about parenting, and I want to, you know, kind of dig in, and I hate small talk and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I don't have a lot of patience for silliness for very long.
He talks about leveling up, that as you rise through the ranks or simply get older, you need to level up and raise your standards and change your behavior. Mm-hmm. What got you here won't get you there.
I was told, I've said this before, when I was working at the daycare, I was told by my coworker that after a year, I was told that her first impression of me a year earlier had been that I was trying too hard to sound smart. And it made me laugh at that point. And she was like, I now know that's literally just how you talk. But mm-hmm. to her, it came across as I was adding all these layers of inauthenticity. Okay. Yeah. It turns out that's literally just
to fake seriousness.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'm just serious.
He got executive coaching feedback that he should wear a jacket every day.
Yeah.
So he leveled up the way he dresses. And he says, the older you get or the more prominent position you attain, the less you should use humor in most cases. And then he praises Kevin DeYoung, who has a great sense of humor, but he's been making fewer and fewer jokes. He's been making fewer and fewer jokes.
A great sense of humor that he has put away.
He is becoming the joke.
He's praising Jordan Peterson for using less and being more and more serious as he gets older. What it means to be the sage.
I don't think that Jordan Peterson is more serious than he's ever been. I think he's always been serious, just naturally. And then I think he has moments where something strikes him as funny, and so he shares it and he laughs about it, and then he goes back to doing what he most comfortably does, which is talk seriously about it.
I'm not sure.
I don't think Aaron has any idea what's going on there.
I like Aaron Wren, but I think he may be a little off the mark on this.
I'm not sure,
practically speaking, how you even apply that. I mean, I'm trying to figure out.
Well, wear a suit jacket.
This sweater I can put on a jacket. Does not pass the muster, John.
No, this sweater's not serious.
We are not going to reach the listener numbers that we are hoping to.
Every time I wear this sweater, I get a compliment from somebody.
Okay.
So here's the thing, though.
We were just talking about Colin's suit jacket because we went to his cousin's birthday party on Saturday, and he came down the stairs wearing a jacket that was like three sizes too small. But I realized he always pulls out that jacket when he wants to feel fancy. And I didn't tell him. It's just a birthday party on a Saturday. I didn't tell him he needed to dress up. But he looked dapper. And I said, afterwards, I said, Colin, you look nice today, but I have to give this jacket to Silas now because you've outgrown it. And he goes, oh, I really like that jacket. And I said, I know you do because this is not the first time. Let's get him another jacket.
I ordered him one today.
That's so great.
I said to him, I know you feel really handsome. I said, I know you feel handsome. It makes you feel handsome in this jacket. And last night he goes, it makes me feel really handsome. Like, he corrected me.
No.
It makes me feel really handsome.
You have understated it.
And what I find funny about it is that he was serious. And so... Yeah. That's the part I don't think that Aaron understands. If you start wearing a suit jacket just because somebody told you to, it becomes funny. You can't take yourself that seriously.
That is true. People who take themselves too seriously are
funny.
They become the joke.
By mistake. And Colin doesn't mind that I laugh at him, which I love about him. It's actually, as he matures, he becomes easier to laugh at without him getting flustered or upset. And he's not going to change the fact that he's going to wear this suit jacket when it comes in, whenever he wants to feel handsome.
That reminds me of a story. It doesn't exactly say the same thing, but Bob Russell was telling the story at a preaching summit a few years ago about Dave Stone, who was the associate minister at the time. Bob is now retired. Dave Stone is, anyway, doesn't matter. He was talking about their staff at Southeast, which is a gigantic church in Louisville, Carl. They were having a conversation about the dress code on Sunday morning, which had always been, everybody on the platform wears a suit and tie, the males. It's a suit and tie.
The men.
Yeah.
That's generally what you see from the Moscow folk as well.
Well, suit and tie. But they were having specifically, this was a while back, decades ago, where they were talking about the trend is to more casual, right? Because everybody in the congregation was dressing casually. And so they were having a discussion about it. And somebody, I think it might have been Bob, said, well, if you were going in to meet the president of the United States, if you're going to walk into the president's office, would you walk in? I mean, you wouldn't.
Right.
You would dress in a tie. You would dress up, and
jacket, MAGA hat. Everything.
Yeah. You put your best. You would dress up to go and meet the president.
Yeah.
And Dave's response was, "Well, not if he was my dad." And
this is an audio cast, right. So nobody can see Luke raising his eyebrows.
And Bob Russell's response was, he goes, "I knew there was a reply to that, but I couldn't think of what it was." Everybody laughed, and I thought, okay. And the reason I bring that up is because that was a serious conversation.
Right.
But there was
levity,
humor injected.
And also, I think it goes a long way to show what I'm trying to talk about, which is that motivation matters. If you're Bob Russell or anyone who's like, we need to level up by wearing a suit and tie, well, then you probably better level up.
Well, it was Aaron Wren, by the way,
I know,
said
but
that, not, don't
else.
Hang that on Bob Russell.
No, but he was saying that he wanted everybody to be wearing their best and look presentable and act like
well,
you actually...
Well, that had been the standard up until that point. So.
Right. Well, act like you actually care how you look. And it's like, great, that sounds very confident. Notice, it's confidence that he's actually wearing. And if you are convicted that that is the truth and that's the right thing, then you do it. And correct. Even if some young pup is like, well, I'm still going to wear this instead, you're going to still maintain your frame and you're going to be in church every Sunday with a suit and tie. However, it is also confidence to say, I know who God is and I know who I am in relation to God. I've been adopted into his family. And so for that reason, I am 100% positive that I am not going to be condemned for...
This tie is not going to impress him.
he's seen me in a lot less dress than
right.
this.
He is not going to be... impressed.
And he's not going to be embarrassed, conversely, if
right.
I come in, you know, wearing just a polo shirt with some khaki pants.
He will
you know?
Not be offended.
Yeah.
If
and
I come
so
in,
if yeah. that's your perspective.
In
and that's,
this sweater, Luke.
If you're confident
I do like
about it, then that's where your seriousness comes from. And this is the thing. Just yesterday, I was being given some grief by some family members, one in particular, who were talking about how you're never going to convince her she's wrong about anything, or you're never going to get... And the more that was said, the more I was like, you're darn right, I'm going to continue. I'm going to triple and quadruple down on this point now, because I certainly can't just
quit. I wasn't going
now. To. It didn't matter to me before, but now it's mattering more and more. It was, by the way, it was the fact that Hugh Grant and Hugh Laurie are basically brothers.
This is also somebody who
they look the same.
Who doesn't see the humor that's happening in front of them.
Well, that's my point. And I was able to both argue that point, but while also not trying to, like, intentionally not trying to take the whole thing too seriously. It's like, you know, the funny part was to be having such a petty argument in the first place. And
about
also,
whether or not Hugh Grant and Hugh Laurie look alike.
And here's the thing. If you put them in some Oompa Loompa orange paint, it's even more
true. You slather enough orange paint on their faces?
They are the same.
You can't tell them apart.
I dare you. I defy you to tell me who's who.
What's also true is if you back away from them like 3 or 4 miles...
Never.
Stand them right
never
next to
know.
Nope.
And if you listen to
from
them
space,
talk,
they look identical.
They have the same accent.
Yep.
I mean,
they're both English.
Yep.
So it was something John said, actually, that sort of has colored my opinion on what to wear to church.
I am not surprised.
And it had to do with people aren't in the church or don't go to church, and they see you dressed to the nines going in the church, it now becomes like an extra stumbling block of, oh, I don't look like that, or I have
Did
to.
Did I say that?
I believe it was.
This that doesn't was sound years like something
ago.
I would
this
say.
This was years ago.
Okay. Maybe I did.
So, yeah, I don't remember. Not that you should dress trashy, but just.
Well, we definitely live in a different era now where the
skinny jeans are a lot more common.
Well,
now.
And sports
jerseys. That
right. I was
me.
Going to say. I was going to say if the pendulum has definitely swung in the other direction now.
Yeah.
And so, I would be the sort of guy now. If we were having the argument or the conversation where I would say, you know what, the church needs to start doing things that look and
churchy.
Feel different
yeah.
from the world.
Be proud I mean, to be churchy.
And women shouldn't wear pants.
Well, you can't, I don't know how far yeah. I would go.
I'm in my outgoing era.
Your head covers are in the mail.
I would definitely say that the time for us to try to look like the people outside the church is past. That's over, and we need to start being obviously different from the world.
I gotta say, I didn't know that Luke's outgoing era was gonna come with like a complete hijacking of the entire.
How is
isn't that kind of refreshing?
It's fine. It's 36 minutes though, and we.
Did
didn't
you
want
to talk about the?
No, John had things, and so I tried to steer it to that earlier.
What was the thing that you thought he wanted to talk about?
What is the thing?
How can you steer it to a thing if you don't know?
I thought
what
you
it
wanted
is?
To talk about like Mike Winger. Or no. about, no? Okay.
Well, we want to talk about the virtual event that's happening on May 3rd.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, yeah.
Are you excited about crystals and want to connect with others who feel the same way? Now, I think they're talking about crystals like the rocks, not girls named Crystal.
Right. Yeah.
Remember show and tell in preschool? Let's play. Now, according to Peaches, this used to be a midwife in Kokomo, right?
Yeah. This is a person whose mailing list I've been on for several years now because
a birthing assistant.
I was trying to get more information about home births because I'm a doula. And my sister-in-law put me in contact with her because my sister-in-law's like good friend, close friend, had all of her children delivered at home
by this crystal
this
lady
person. And so I took the screenshot for Megan's sake and I sent it to Megan with the caption, "Hey, Megan, you remember that doctor? You know," I said, "she told me when I contacted her, she's actually not practicing midwifery anymore. She's now got her family practice." And then I was like, ...
And apparently
practicing witchcraft on the side.
Well, all right. So I wanted to find out. And then you helpfully captioned or put this about the event.
Yeah.
How much fun was show and tell as a kid, right? Well, depending on who you were, it was either a really fun experience or the worst day of your life. Anyway, crystals are so much fun. And I love seeing how nature can create such incredible beauties. So why not join the two and get a chance to meet with others who enjoy their treasures too! Exclamation point. Circle up with us virtually.
Yeah.
Virtually.
It's a virtual event.
And share with us your favorite stone among your personal collection. Tell us why you love it and maybe tell us why we should consider adding one to your collection. I think that's supposed to say our collection.
Supposed to say our collection, yeah. Typo.
Doctor will share a stone from her collection as well and discuss how crystals... And see, up until that point, I was like, okay, you're just going to show rocks to each other. I guess I don't have a problem
with that.
Oh, gosh,
you didn't know?
Up to that point, I'm like, okay, well, they just
he
like
was totally
rocks
on
like
board.
Stamps,
it's
just you know, like, or matchbox cars.
It's just geology.
It's just, yeah. And then up until that point, I'm like, okay, well, this I don't have... Anyway, discuss how crystals might be a wonderful addition to your health and healing journey. I'm like, okay. So this isn't any different than essential oils.
As somebody who works right. in healthcare, I can't tell you how often we reach for the drawer of rocks. It's every day.
I am tempted to participate in this event.
With your own little gravel.
And now I'm just in the process. I'm in the process of finding. I want to find the most heinous, ridiculous, stupid rock.
Just pull like a chunk from your driveway that chipped off.
Piece of concrete.
Pull something out of a pothole, like a piece of asphalt that's still got a part of yellow stripe on it, and just hold it up and start talking about it.
This is my itching stone.
And see if they would interrupt me. See if they would go, "That's not a crystal."
You remember, Laura? I just had this flashback. Can you remember in elementary school when, like, we were in Sunday school?
We didn't go to the same school.
No. Sunday school era, okay. 90s and early 2000s, when you'd make a prayer stone, and it had a little poem on it, and you were supposed to put it under your pillow.
I did not know we were doing
if
this.
If you knock your head, it's supposed to remind you, put it under your pillow to remind you if you hit your head on it to pray. And you're supposed to toss it on the floor after you prayed at night.
So you step your toe
on it the next morning, and it will remind you to pray in the morning. Do you remember that? Oh, gosh.
Oh, you can
show Dr. Your prayer stone.
Seems like there would be more effective ways. You might miss it. What you should have is like a bed of nails that you put underneath your pillow and then put it on your floor. And then when you step out of the bed to go pee, you'll puncture your foot.
Prayer rock poem. I am a special prayer rock. This is what I do. You put me on your pillow until the day is through. Turn back the covers, climb into bed, womp, your special climb into the bed, womp, your special prayer rock will hit you on the head. Then you will remember, get up and say your prayers, just dump me on the floor, till morning I'll be there. You'll get up the next morning, clunk, I'll stub your toe. So you will recall, my friend, your morning prayers, you know.
That sounds like a way to start every prayer with a swear word.
The school nurse calls CPS because your head is all lumpy.
Please,
son of a...
Please, Carl, please write to us. Tell me if you had a prayer stone when you were in youth group or something. Ooh. Yes. So... the thing is, somebody asked me recently, after I told them that story about the crystals, who was it? Was it you, Luke, who was like, how common is this? Or like,
I feel like the essential oil and crystal era has been shamed to the niche side.
No.
Like, normal people are not.
Well, normal people never were into it. But,
I don't know. I knew a lot of people who got into the essential oil thing.
Well, then those same people still believe in crystals. This dominates female social media news feeds.
Crystals.
I'm not even...
Crystals, Enneagram,
oils,
essential oils.
Light a candle and set an intention. Yeah, so incense. Mm. And it's witchcraft. Like, I sent you a
video.
It's
voodoo!
Like, women will ask, in all seriousness, they'll go on a forum and ask... Guys, you know, I got a question. I just need to pull the audience here. I need some advice because I've been really down lately. I haven't had a lot of energy. The coffee's not touching it. I just need to know.
Which rock should I?
No. Well, that too. But what planets are in the sky right now? Like, is there something going on with
astrology.
The moon? Like, tell me what I'm astrological sign, you know, whatever. So then what should I be doing next?
Right.
You know, I'm feeling a little like I need some guidance here. And they're serious. They're not being laughed at because you exist in the medical world, as you mentioned, and you guys say things to each other that you're not allowed to say directly to the patient's face. And I've wondered before, if
like,
you were...
What a maroon.
Would that change? Like, I wondered when people were dragging their kids to the ER for, like, barely any fever, and they're being told by other moms, better safe than sorry, just take them in.
That's because the medical professionals are not allowed to mock them and tell
I
them,
thought
go
if,
home
if
and
they
quit being
knew what the
dumb.
Doctors actually thought of them, maybe they would be shamed enough that they would stay home and just relax a little bit. But
I'm doing
not.
It. I'm joining this virtual thing, and I am going to get...
This is not the first virtual thing you've joined.
It is not. I did a virtual thing
two years ago
on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Yeah.
For the holidays, for people missing their family because they've been ostracized.
They've ostracized themselves.
They left their family of origin because their family was religious.
Right. Yeah. And so they have self-righteously gathered a group. There was only, like, I don't know, 8 of them.
Do not let these women assume your gender either. Don't let them get away with that.
Well, there's so many things. So I got to figure out what my crystal is, what rock I'm going to take.
Did you save the kidney stone you had a while back?
It's not big enough.
That's a God's natural and given prayer stone. No, I did not.
Why would anyone save a kidney? Do people save kidney
just,
stones?
What did you just throw away, Luke, just this
he
weekend?
He threw away his tooth.
I threw away my wisdom tooth.
That's too bad. I would have taken that.
I think it's still in the trash.
It's calcium.
Still upstairs.
I just need to find the perfect
this
rock.
This is a hunk of organic, locally sourced calcium. It helps with digestion.
Is that a cavity? Does it have a cavity?
Yeah. That's not at all what I thought we were going to talk about today. None of it. I didn't even know you were going to do that.
Carl, let us know if this was the best episode you've ever heard.
If you want more encouragement from Luke.
If you want us to be less serious.
More participation from the outgoing era of
Luke.
If you
want us to be less serious, either write to us or write to Aaron Wren.
What's the opposite of a ninja?
Thanks for visiting the Comedian's House. If you want to spend more time with our family, you can follow John Branion on YouTube and Facebook. Also, email nextdoor@johnbranion.com with your comments and questions. We'll see you next time.